بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قالوا يا أبانا ما لك لا تأمنا على يوسف وإنا له لناصحون. Respected elders and dear brothers, in the last scene we discussed the plot and the plan that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam had discussed amongst themselves, and they concluded and decided that it was about time for them to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam. Either we kill him, we murder him, or perhaps we take him to a foreign land, far away from the land of Canaan where they were residing. Or alternatively, we could take him, find a pit, and release him, drop him into this pit, and perhaps some travelers will pick him up from there and proceed to a different land. So it saves them the trouble of actually traveling with him and taking him to a foreign land. In scene 3, they come to their father, Yaqub alayhi salam, and now they have to convince Yaqub alayhi salam to allow Yusuf alayhi salam to join them on this outing of theirs, their daily outing, their daily adventure into the wild. So they come to their father. Qalu, they said, Ya Abana, O our father, Malak, Malak, why is it, what is the matter with you? لا تأمننا على يوسف. You do not trust us with Yusuf alayhi salam. So this expression denotes what? That previously they made a request to their father. This was not the first time that they had come up to their father requesting Yusuf alayhi salam to join them on their outing. It shows that previously they made such requests, but Yusuf alayhi salam always denied them and did not allow them to take his son along with them. And they said, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ. He is our brother. Perhaps he's not our real brother, but he is our half-brother. And we are his nasihun, we are his well-wishers. What a lie. A moment ago, they were discussing a plot against Yusuf alayhi salam, and here they come before their father, who is a Nabi of Allah. And they says, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ. A nasih is your well-wisher. One who only wishes good for you. One who only wants khair to come into your life. So then they said, أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدًا. Listen, send him with us tomorrow. Tomorrow when we go out in the morning, do send him with us. يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ. He will enjoy, he will picnic with us. He will eat and drink. وَيَلْعَبْ. He will play. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And we will be there, his guards, his protectors, always there with him. We will not allow him to leave our sight. We will be there guarding him, his hafiz. We will be there to protect him. From here we see they came requesting from Yusuf alayhi salam, and Allama Qurtubi and other commentators of hadith, they deduce from this that they came to seek permission from Yaqub alayhi salam to go out on a recreational outing. To go and play, have fun, picnic, enjoy themselves, and to go out on an adventure. And Yusuf alayhi salam did not prohibit them from going out on a recreational outing. Yes, he was reluctant in sending Yusuf alayhi salam with them. So from this we understand that Sharia has allowed us to go out holidaying, to go out on an outing, to go out picnicking, to go out on a recreational outing and enjoy ourselves, provided that outing is governed by the limits set by Sharia. And no unlawful activity takes place while we are out on that recreational outing. So Yaqub alayhi salam responds. He says, Qal, Yaqub alayhi salam said to the brothers, to his sons, when they made this request, Inni la yahzununi an tadhhabu bih. He explained two reasons why he does not want Yusuf alayhi salam to join them. He says, number one, it makes me sad that you should take him away I will miss him while he is away from me. I will be overcome with anxiety. May Allah make our children such that the absence is a source of anxiety and a source of worry and a source of discomfort for us, and the presence is a source of comfort. Let it not be such that the child in your home is a source of discomfort and you want him away out of the house, because when he is out of sight and out of mind, then your heart is at rest, your mind is at peace. So Yaqub alayhi salam, he says, the son of mine Yusuf, he displays such good character. He's such a wonderful child. When he's in the home, my heart is at rest. There's comfort, there's peace, there's solace in my home. So if you're going to take him away from me, inni la yahzununi an tadhhabu bih, you will go far away with him. I'm going to miss him the entire day. I'll be overcome with anxiety and distress and worry. That's the first fear that I have. And the first reason that he offered to the brothers why they should not take him. And secondly, he says, wa akhaf an ya'kulahu dhi'b. A dhi'b refers to a wolf. I fear that a wolf may devour him. Wa antum anhu ghafilun, while you are unaware of him. Perhaps you will be engaged in your activities and in your adventures and in your games and playing, and you will become heedless of Yusuf alayhi salam, and as a result, a wolf might come and take advantage of the situation and devour him. Why did he have this fear? Because it is said that the land of Canaan at that time, it was notorious and it was known for having much wolves. Wolves used to live around that area, and it was not uncommon to find many wolves roaming around in that region. So that is why he had a genuine fear. And he informed them of these fears that he had. Another reason, and Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi makes mention of this, that while Yusuf alayhi salam had that amazing dream with an amazing interpretation, Yaqub alayhi salam, he also, during his lifetime, he had a dream. The books of Tafsir do not state exactly when he had this dream, whether it was before the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam or at a later stage. But Yaqub alayhi salam, he had a dream, the father. What did he see in his dream? He saw in his dream that he was standing on the top of a hill, high up on a hill, and Yusuf alayhi salam was standing at the foot of that hill, at the bottom. And he observed from the top that a group, a pack of wolves, 10 of them, 10 in number, they came and they isolated Yusuf alayhi salam and they started attacking Yusuf alayhi salam. But one out of those many wolves, it defended Yusuf alayhi salam. So because of the dream that he had, there was always that fear that something bad is to come his way and something bad will happen to Yusuf alayhi salam. So this was also one of the reasons for his apprehension, his fear, why he did not want Yusuf alayhi salam to go along with them. And this is exactly the dream manifested. Those 10 wolves were the 10 brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, and the one who defended him, the one wolf that defended Yusuf alayhi salam, was who? We spoke about the eldest brother, Yehuda. Yehuda, the eldest brother of Yusuf. And he was the one who advised them not to kill Yusuf alayhi salam, not to go to that extent of murdering him. So he was that one wolf that protected Yusuf alayhi salam, and in the dream he saw Yusuf alayhi salam running off all alone into the wild, into the forest, and that was, of course, the bottom of the pit, the well. It represented the well where he was left all by himself. So when Yaqub alayhi salam presented these two reasons, and this is why I do not want him to go out and join you on your outing today or the next day, they said, and they counted this. What did they say? قَالُوا لَإِنْ أَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبَ وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّا إِذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ. They said, oh, our father, if a wolf eats him, if a wolf devours him while we are a strong group, we spoke about usba, sah? They referred to themselves as an usba. Usba is a well-knitted, well-formed group that is strong and that has unity amongst themselves. Oh, our father, we are an usba. We are a group of 10 strong men. Will we be unable and helpless to protect Yusuf alayhi salam against a single wolf? Inna idha lakhasirun. We are certainly losers then. What are you trying to say? See, they're playing that the emotional card on Yaqub alayhi salam. Are you saying we are useless? That we cannot do anything? And Yaqub alayhi salam is their father. But he knows exactly, he knows what's the fear. He knows what it is that he fears, that he fears these very same 10 sons of his. That they are the cause of his fear, not the wolves in the jungle. And not because Yusuf alayhi salam will be taken away for him for a short period of time. But he's looking for a way out to sort of refuse his sons from taking Yusuf alayhi salam with them. So his main fear were the brothers, but Yaqub alayhi salam, because he's a Nabi of Allah, they are all his sons, they are his sons. And he doesn't tell them directly that they are the cause of his fear. And they are the ones who will perhaps harm Yusuf alayhi salam because he is speaking to his sons. Now you can't openly make such a statement to your child. Firstly, it's going to hurt them. Even though it is the truth, it's really going to hurt all 10 of his sons. And what will happen? It will only compound the problem. If they will not find an excuse on this occasion to take Yusuf alayhi salam and murder him, at some other point and at a later occasion in his life, perhaps they will fulfill and they will carry out this evil intention of theirs. So Yaqub alayhi salam does not make his inner feelings known to his brothers that they are the real source of his fear, and it is them whom he fears who has the potential of harming Yusuf alayhi salam. Eventually they convinced Yaqub alayhi salam, and sometimes you have to give in. Okay, he measured his options. Do I disclose my fear to them, or do I allow Yusuf alayhi salam to join them? He measured his options and he felt that the better option would be to allow Yusuf alayhi salam to go out with them. That will be of lesser harm. It will cause lesser damage to the family than keeping Yusuf alayhi salam with himself and not allowing him to go with them. Brothers, in reality, what we are seeing here is two plans. There are two plans that are taking place. One is the plan of a human being, not an ordinary human being, a great human being who enjoys an amazing relationship with Allah, and that is Yaqub alayhi salam. He has a plan. He wants to protect Yusuf. He wants to guard Yusuf against any potential harm. So he tells Yusuf alayhi salam, do not narrate the dream to them. Do not tell them of the dream. And here he is trying different ways in trying to protect Yusuf alayhi salam. So these are the plans that he is putting into motion in order to protect Yusuf alayhi salam. But then you have the plan of Allah. Then you have the plan of Allah. So you have the plan of Yaqub alayhi salam, and you have the plan of Allah. And you and I also, on a daily basis perhaps, we face a similar situation. One is your plans, one is your desires, your ambitions, your dreams that you want to achieve and accomplish in life. Now sometimes your plan and the plan of Allah, they work hand in hand. So your plan coincides with the plan of Allah. You really wanted the deal to come through. You really wanted that investment to come through. You really wanted that proposal to go through. You worked towards it. You planned towards it. Day and night you planned, and it came through. Alhamdulillah. That means your plan and Allah's plan were working together. So your plan coincides with the plan of Allah Azza wa Jal. But sometimes you plan, but Allah has a different plan in mind. So you have this young girl. She receives the proposal that she has always been waiting for, and she's overjoyed, and she's happy, and she's overtaken by excitement, and she starts planning for the biggest day in her life. And she plans, and there's excitement, and there's planning, and there's all, we know all the planning that goes into such an event. And yet two weeks before the actual wedding, the boy calls it off, or something traumatic happens where the wedding cannot take place. So here you have her plans and the plans of Allah. And when this happens, when you plan and plan and plan, and your plans do not work out, or things do not go the way you wanted it to go, or the way you planned it to go, but they turn out differently, at that point, that is when you are hit and you are struck with depression. You go into a state of sadness and depression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this in the Quran. So this is what is happening over here. That Yaqub alayhi salam, this is the plan that he has, and eventually he allows, he permits them. He allows Yusuf alayhi salam to join them on this adventure as they go out the next day. So this scene ends with a lot of happiness. There's a lot of happiness, okay? The brothers are happy. They are overjoyed. They're happy. They're excited. Why? Because they eventually convinced the father, Yaqub alayhi salam, to send their little brother along with them. So they are excited. Yusuf alayhi salam is excited. Why? Because he was the little brother. And you know, like in the house, the little brother is always left behind. His big brothers are always going out. They're going out on their adventures. They are going out fishing. They are going out on their camping trips and their hiking trips. And he, because of his young age, is always left behind. And he always wants to go along with them. He wants to join them, but he's a small brother, so he can't. Right? And his father doesn't allow him to. And his brothers come back the next day and they speak of what a wonderful time they had. So he's waiting for the day when he is allowed and given the permission to join them. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he's excited that eventually now I can go along with my brothers on one of their adventures. So here you have a young boy whose happiness and whose joy has reached an uncontainable level. He's so excited and he's so overjoyed that he's in the company of his brothers. As they proceeded in the morning, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, what they did in order to convince their father and to sort of appease and remove any fear that he might have had, they started carrying Yusuf alayhi salam, one brother to the other brother, passing him around, carrying him on their shoulders, and they started walking off into the wild. And Yaqub alayhi salam, he followed them up to a certain point to bid them farewell. And subhanallah, he watched them disappear into the horizon, not knowing that he will see his son only 40 years later. And the moment, Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi makes mention of this, the moment they disappeared from their father's sight, the brother on whose back Yusuf alayhi salam was perched, on whose back Yusuf alayhi salam was seated, he took Yusuf alayhi salam and flung him to the ground. He threw him down onto the ground. Young boy, imagine, subhanallah, this is the highest level of sadness that can hit a person. When? That sadness that hits you on a moment of joy. You are on a very high level of happiness and joy and excitement. And at that point, something traumatic happens. That sadness and sorrow and grief that you experience there is the highest level of grief. Why? Because you are dealing with two opposites and two extreme situations. So he's so confused. He's so overcome with fear. He doesn't understand what's happening. He's a 12-year-old child. And then he runs from one brother to the other brother. And all the brothers are cold with him. And he's young and he's weak. And all of them ignore him. And he runs from one to the other until eventually he comes to Yehuda, the eldest brother. And Yaqub alayhi salam, before sending them off, he took a pledge from the brothers, from all of them. And he entrusted Yehuda. He made Yehuda the biggest son. He made him in charge of Yusuf alayhi salam, and he entrusted Yusuf alayhi salam to him. So he runs from one brother to the other, asking him, begging them for help, until he comes to Yehuda. And Yehuda, he feels sorry for Yusuf alayhi salam. So he promises Yusuf. He says, listen Yusuf, I will ensure that you will remain safe and that you are not killed. I promise you that. So long as I am alive, I will make sure that no harm comes your way. Eventually, as they proceed, and they now wish to execute their plan, and now again, they wish to kill Yusuf alayhi salam. That was the plan. They want to kill him. They said, why not? Let us take advantage of the situation and murder him. There's no point in sending him away to a foreign land. But in Yehuda comes forward, the eldest son. And he says, listen, there's no need to carry out such a senseless deed, such a senseless act. Let us just scrap the plan. Let us not go ahead with the plan. And let us all go back and return Yusuf to his father. When he stated this to them, 9 of them ganged up against him. And says, oh Yehuda, we can see what you are trying to achieve here. You want to rise in status before our father. You want to rise in status. What were they competing for? What is it that they wanted? They wanted their father's attention to be purely for them. They wanted to be the sole recipients of their father's love. So now they feel that, oh Yehuda, you want to be the sole recipient of our father's love. If you will come before us and Yusuf, we will kill you along with Yusuf. So Yehuda says, okay, fine, he understood, he realized he's outnumbered. There's nothing that he could do on this occasion, so he says, okay, let's do this. Let's not kill. Let's not murder Yusuf, alayhi salam. I know of a pit, of a well nearby. Let us go over there to that pit, throw Yusuf, alayhi salam, into this pit. And this pit, there are lethal crawlers and lethal creatures in this pit. Perhaps one of them will bite him or sting him, and as a result, he will die. So you will not carry the blood of Yusuf on your hands. You have not killed him by your own hands, so you will be free and absolved of that crime. And if he is not killed by a lethal crawler or a lethal insect in that well, then perhaps some travelers will pick him up and they will proceed with him to a foreign land. So the brothers agreed to this, and they decided to throw him down into this well. And this is where we move on to the scene number 4. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the execution of the plan. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. So in the fourth scene, Allah speaks of the plan that they had concocted in order to rid Yusuf alayhi salam of this earth. Allah says, so when they went with him and were determined to put him in the bottom of a pit, which they did do, they lowered him into the bottom of the pit. And how did they do this? Subhanallah. I mean, he's a young boy, 12 years of age. Those whom he trusts, whom he really trusts, his brothers, his own brothers, who does he turn to? I mean, imagine at that point how much he must have missed and longed for his father. His father was the only one who could have helped him and assisted him at that point. 12 years old, they took him and they started pushing him down this pit. And Yusuf alayhi salam, Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi, following historical narrations, he says Yusuf alayhi salam grabbed onto the wall of this pit with his dear life, literally. So they pulled him out and they removed his shirt, his upper garment, they removed it and they tied his hands. And they tried to force him down this pit, 12 years old, subhanallah. What was going through his mind and through his heart at that time? And eventually they put him into a bucket. They found a bucket with a rope. And they lowered him down. When he was halfway down, they cut the rope. So he was left, released for free fall. And he hit the water. And according to one narration, Jibreel alayhi salam caught Yusuf alayhi salam before he landed onto the water. And Yusuf alayhi salam then found nearby a rock that was protruding. And he sat on that rock and waited on that rock. At that point when he was alone and the world turned its back on him and he had nobody to support him in this world, what did Allah say? وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. Allah said, we revealed to Yusuf alayhi salam. At that age, wahi came to Yusuf, of course. Wahi here does not refer to the wahi that was sent to the anbiya, revelation sent to a nabi, because a nabi only received wahi, revelation, at the age of 40. No Nabi attained prophethood before the age of 40, and Yusuf alayhi salam was 12 years old. So what is meant by wahi? Wahi refers to divine inspiration. The very same divine inspiration that the mother of Musa experienced when she was divinely inspired by Allah to take Musa alayhi salam and cast him and release him into the river Nile. That was also a divine inspiration. So Allah says, we were there for Yusuf. And sometimes you feel that way. That everyone has given up on you, and the world has given up on you, and there's no one there on your side, and there's no one there to help you, to support you, to comfort you. Allah says Yusuf alayhi salam was all alone, literally alone, in the bottom of a well, a young child with a tiny heart in the depth of a deep pit, a dark pit in some jungle out there in the wild. Allah says, we comforted Yusuf. And how did we comfort him? Allah says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا. Allah says, oh Yusuf, one day you will tell them of this deed of theirs. Today they have the upper hand over you. You are on the receiving end. Wallahi, one day will come, Yusuf, when you will have the upper hand over them. And they will be at your mercy. وَأَنْتُمْ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And they will not even recognize you then. And they will come to you, as we will discuss later in the story, when they all do come to Yusuf alayhi salam eventually, begging of his mercy and his generosity. So they released him into the well, and he remained there for approximately 3 days and three nights. While he was in the well, Yehuda, the eldest brother, he felt absolutely guilty. And what did he do? He would come late at night with some provision, with some food for Yusuf alayhi salam, and he would lower it down into the well for Yusuf alayhi salam, and that is how Yusuf alayhi salam was nourished through those 3 days and three nights during which he remained in that pit. Scene 5. They come back home. Allah explains it, how they come home. They come to their father. They have a lot of explanation to do. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ Allah says they came weeping to their father. When did they come? At nightfall. When it was dark, they could conceal their expressions. There was no electricity back then. So it was easy for them to conceal their expressions. So they came to their father at nightfall. When it became dark, يَبْكُونَ They were weeping and crying. And the father comes out of the home and he hears the sounds of crying, and Yaqub alayhi salam asks, he comes out, what happened? What happened? Was the flock attacked by wolves? What happened? And then he realizes Yusuf alayhi salam is not there, so he asks them about Yusuf, that where is Yusuf alayhi salam? And they says, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا O our father, إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقْ Exactly what you predicted. Exactly what you predicted. We went out racing with each other and enjoying ourselves. وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفْ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا We left Yusuf with our belongings while we were going and racing about. فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ And a wolf came and devoured him. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ What did they say? Oh Father, you will never believe us. We know you won't believe us. Okay, but that's really what happened. We know you will never believe us. وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ Even though we are speaking the truth. What a lie. We are 100% sadiq, truth in what we are saying. But we know you won't believe us. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that excitement, and of course, they were perhaps overtaken by fear as they were committing this crime. They removed the shirt, right? And they took the shirt because they had to present some evidence. They took the shirt and they took a little kid, a kid goat, they slaughtered it. And the shirt, they dyed it and they colored it. They soaked it into the blood of that kid. And they came and they presented this shirt to Yaqub alayhi salam. Allah says, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ And they came with fake blood on his shirt. And they said, look, this is the shirt of our brother Yusuf alayhi salam. This is what had happened to him. So Yusuf alayhi salam studied the shirt. And Alama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi, he makes an amazing point here. He says that the judge and the qadi should not only listen to the arguments, but he should also study circumstantial evidence. Because when he studied the shirt, he says, wow, what a smart wolf. He had the time to take out the shirt of Yusuf, because if a wolf's going to attack you, what's going to happen to the shirt? If he's going to wound you, what's going to happen to the shirt? And when we say shirt, we're not talking of one of your Pringles or... Okay, an upper garment, right? So this was one wise wolf. He had the time to unbutton the shirt, to remove the shirt. So that evidence, that stood as evidence that proved that Yusuf alayhi salam, he studied the circumstantial evidence. He did not only listen to the arguments. And based on that evidence, he reached the conclusion that these brothers were guilty of a foul play, which we will discuss in our next scene, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah grant us understanding.